Welcome to Season 1, Episode 16 of the Recruitment Startup Subject, a podcast fixated on understanding the questions around what it takes to launch and run your own recruitment agency. Now, within this series, we're talking to entrepreneurial recruiters who have started their own agencies as we really look to understand what finally made them make the leap, focusing on everything from the practicalities and the journey they went on to get there to the challenges that they faced and the hurdles that they've had to overcome and the journey they've been on since launching their own agency, whatever that might have been, really in the hope of A, understanding more about them and their unique journey, and B, giving recruiters out there who might, just might, be listening to this today, toying with the idea of starting their own agency, an insight into what it really takes to start and run your own agency in today's market. And today, we're joined by Lucy Robinson, founder of LCR International, a specialist recruitment headhunting agency with a focus on the global fresh produce industry. Lucy is a prime example of a recruiter who was professionally ready to start her own agency years before personally feeling kind of like it was the right time for her, having built out markets unknown to her previous employer and had some real success along the way. From the outside looking in, it was an absolute no-brainer that one day she would make that leap and launch her own agency. However, it was only after years and years in contemplation, years of research, years of do I, don't I, that it really gradually started to feel like the right move for her. Years on, she hasn't looked back, and I feel really kind of lucky to have been able to talk with her about her journey when we sat down and recorded this episode, from what drove her to start her own agency to exploring the logistics around how she went about it, the challenges, the learns, the ups, the downs, the successes, all of which are part and parcel of running your own recruitment agency, of course. It's certainly an episode that I would suspect would make you think about not only the pros, but the challenges that come with starting, running, and developing your own agency and the steps that you can take to, we hope, mitigate those challenges. So stop waffling on. Let's welcome Lucy Robinson to episode 16 of the Recruitment Startup Subject. Thank you very much for obviously taking the time. I suppose for people who are listening to this and don't know too much about yourself, do you mind just introducing yourself, and then I suppose we'll go from there?
Yeah, sure. So I set up LCR International. Yeah. It'll be just over 3 years ago now, so in December 2019. So we're a fresh produce specialist recruitment business. So we recruit for fresh produce businesses globally.
And how long have you been in recruitment then?
So yeah, my background is, so I started in recruitment when I was 19. So yeah, a long time ago now. So was that about 17 years or something? So yeah, so quite a while ago. Then worked for quite a few different companies in that time. Yeah.
And then I suppose, when did you first start having the thoughts about doing something for yourself then?
So we'll have been, I'm trying to think when it would have been now, like not in the early days, it would have definitely been later on, like maybe sort of maybe 5 years before I actually set up, maybe something like that. So I never really had the ambition initially, and then that just kind of worked out well. Yeah, it felt like maybe something that I could do and obviously make more money, keep the money from myself rather than giving it away to a business. And also had my own ideas. I think I was seeing the way things were being done and I wanted to do them differently. Yeah. So I think that was a big factor in it also.
And I think some of those initial factors are always usually the financials, aren't they? Because it is so black and white. I suppose it is also, all joking aside, having the inclination to want to do it. So I suppose what kind of developed over those 5 years from those first kind of thoughts to you gently feeling in 2019 that it was the right time for yourself then?
Yeah, well, it was a long development. I was in conversation with somebody else about potentially setting up at one point, which obviously that didn't go ahead. I then had my first baby, so it was kind of like working around that. I decided maybe this isn't the right timing, I'll have family first. And then it was probably he would have been 2 years old when I set up, a couple of days after that, and it just felt, I think there was multiple reasons why it was just the right timing.
Yeah, and I suppose it's got to be personally and professionally. I suppose professionally, I'm sure you would have felt very capable of doing it 101 times before you kind of made the leap, so to speak. I suppose personally, did the stars just kind of align for yourself and your family, and it all felt like the right thing? Because it's a big move, not only for yourself, but also for your family as well, isn't it?
Well, I think everybody was a bit like, well, very nervous, Lucy, what are you doing? You're going to be, you're giving up on a salary. So it was a big, a big move, but I was confident it would work. I think it was it was just the timing. So I'd tried to set up an international desk at my previous employer, and I really wanted to do the fresh produce global thing there. But after 6 months, it wasn't really working, in all honesty. And we had a chat, and they were like, it's just not working. Wasn't bringing any money at the time. And I was like, well, it just needs longer. It needs longer. It's going to work. It just needs more time. 6 months isn't enough. So we parted ways, and it was just perfect timing. I was like, well, if they don't want to do it with me, I'm just going to do it by myself. And obviously, it was the case. It did take longer than that to set up. So after 3 months of doing it myself, I made my first placement, and went from there. So it was,
And did you kind of build on the 6 months then? So you were obviously with your previous company for quite a long period of time, and then obviously you had that new opportunity there. So when you moved away from that company, and forgive me for prying a little bit, were you able, kind of restrictions wise, was it kind of free rein then, because it wasn't something that they were going to really target?
Well, the companies that I was working with at that point, we hadn't placed with at the company, so they couldn't claim them as clients. So I suppose, in a good position that,
That's
yeah.
all
And
good.
they'd even said to me, that we're not going to sort of hold you against working with them or anything. So yeah, essentially, I was able to set up and had clients straight away, which was great. So I was quite lucky, I guess, in that
Yeah, I was about
respect.
to say, but also, I mean, understandably, I'm sure, like anyone would be in that situation, it's still quite nerve-wracking, because obviously 6 months doing it, you've got to have a real kind of why did you feel it was going to work? Obviously, I know you were in it day to day, but were the signs there that you obviously just needed what ended up just being another 3 months, really?
Well, I think I'd had three offers that had all fallen through in that 6 months, which was just, bad luck.
It's
And I
typical
was
though,
like,
isn't it?
So it wasn't like I wasn't getting anywhere. I had vacancies, I had clients, I had candidates, I was getting people to interview, to offer stage, and I just needed to get further. But maybe it happened for a reason that they didn't place, because otherwise maybe I wouldn't have set up. So,
Well, in some ways, yeah. I mean, do you think, knowing what you know now, do you think you would have set up at some point anyway?
I mean, that was always in the back of my mind, actually. So I was thinking of setting up at some point. It would have been probably later down the line, because we didn't have any savings. My partner was like, you can't do it. We've got no, we're not ready for this. And it was just kind of like being pushed into it. It's like, well, I've left there now. I'm not going back to work for another business. I might as well just do it. So just went for it. And we had to cut back, we had to get rid of a
I was
car,
about to
we
say,
had
I
to
was
cut back
literally
on
about to say,
savings.
yeah. So you go into that thinking, okay, well, this does have to work. Did you give yourself kind of a runway period to say, right, okay, if it isn't working within X amount of months, I'll go do something else? Or
Oh, do you know what? I don't
not?
even remember if I did do that. I mean, if I did, I don't remember. I think I was just like adamant that it would work. It was like not an option. But yeah, we had to sit down and look at finances and cut back massively, on our spending. Obviously, I had to borrow a little bit of money as well at the time. Not loads, to be fair, and that was paid back probably within the first 12 to 18 months. So
And then obviously
so.
within that period of time, just thinking December 2019, so you have obviously the normal kind of hurdles and challenges that everyone has, but also you got COVID chucked in there as well, and obviously the international focus that you had at, did I mean, naively, maybe, did that impact it a lot, or not really for yourself?
It did. I wouldn't say it impacted it as much as other industries, because I guess fresh produce, people are always going to buy fruit and veg. And I did have quite a few positions that fell out, because I had clients that were supplying fruits and vegetables to the food service industry. So obviously they, lost all their business overnight. I had, candidates at final stage interview that were about to get an offer that all dropped out. But then on the flip side, I've got clients that were supplying the retail sector, and their volumes tripled. So it was, I was able to keep working. I mean, I was already working from home at that point, so I suppose it was, I was one of the people that did continue to work through for that
No, I
reason.
mean, just thinking back, I mean, when we worked with all our guys through that period, it wasn't,
It was nerve-wracking, obviously, for the understandable reasons, but dynamic-wise, day-to-day, their kind of days didn't really change because, similar to yourself, most of them were working from home doing what they were doing. And, nine times out of 10 tended to kind of ride the wave. I suppose you mentioned it just before in terms of some of the things that were pulling you to do it in the first place. Obviously, the financials being one of them and kind of putting your own stamp on things, so to speak, as well. I suppose what else was really exciting you about doing it then?
Yeah, I think it was that was a massive thing, doing things my way and having like my sort of brand and yeah, trying to do things a bit differently, having the flexibility. So I was yeah, obviously had a 2-year-old at the time. We then quite quickly decided to have another baby. So I think so basically my first year in of setting up, I was also pregnant. So yeah, so that was good timing. But yeah, I think it was that as well, having that fam being able to have that family life and the flexibility to work around the kids was a big thing.
And that's because you hear so many people say it, but there's one thing talking about it, there's another thing actually doing that and running a business and managing a what would that mean, two under three at that point for yourself, or two under two. So is
Well,
that
no, actually, would you know, so I was so my yeah, so my eldest, well, yeah, my eldest was 3 and a half when my
right,
youngest
so yeah,
was born. So it was yeah,
still
so still
particularly
having to
challenging. Yeah, I mean, how did that kind of impact the family dynamic then? I mean, obviously that must have been quite a pressurizing situation for you guys, just as a group.
yeah, I mean, I was quite, well, very lucky that I've got my mum who's very supportive, so she was able to help out in the early days, and then my partner also went down to part-time hours with his work for the first for like 3 months so that he could also help out. So between the three of us, we managed with yeah, a baby, well, a toddler and a newborn basically. So yeah, it was challenging, yeah.
Well, it certainly is. And obviously, you mentioned in that kind of the passion attached to the brand that you've been building over the last couple of years as well. I suppose, in terms of the clients that you've been working with prior to setting up, how did they respond to what you were doing or what you have been doing?
I mean, I think some of them were quite shocked. I didn't tell them that I was pregnant. I was sat on video calls and obviously they wouldn't have seen the bump. So I just thought, I'm not going to tell anyone. So, they don't need to know. But then obviously when I had the baby, I did tell everybody. And some of them were like amazed. They were like, wow, we can't believe you've done all this and you've been pregnant. Someone did make the comment though, something along the lines of, you shouldn't be working right now. You should be with your baby. And I was like, well, my baby's downstairs. It's not like he's far away. I'm just, So yeah, so I think there was a little bit of that. But yeah, I mean, I was only working in the early days. I had 3 months off and then I worked 2 days a week, mostly in the when he slept, essentially. So it was just, yeah, it was a bit
2 days
crazy.
out of 7 days, that's quite a good baby. Yeah, no, but I think it's one of those things that so with obviously with the clients in general, prior to setting up on your own, were they surprised that you set up just in general on your own as well?
Do you know what? There wasn't too much of that actually. They were just like, I wasn't sure how they would react, so I just called them, said, that's it, I'm working by myself now. Are you happy to still work with me? And they just said, is the fee going to be the same? I said, yes. They said, yeah, that's fine. That was pretty much it, signing your terms and we continued. There was no kind of yeah, issue on their side
Because I think
or
there's a
anything.
hesitancy, isn't there?
Yeah.
We certainly find it with some of our guys over the years whereby they feel that, especially when you look at the fees, that for some reason you have to drop these things just because you're working for ABC Recruitment as opposed to some big conglomerate that might be well known. I suppose, was there none of that for yourself? I suppose, obviously, that's proof in the pudding in terms of what you've been delivering for them.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, they just worked with me previously anyway, so all they knew was me, and then nothing really changed for them. They had to sign new terms, and that was it. So no, it was really straightforward, actually. They were quite happy, and we just continued as we had been doing. So.
And in terms of the international focus then, so what are kind of the biggest areas for yourself that you tend to focus on in terms of where your clients based then?
All over. So I say a lot of it is Spain and the Netherlands, but then we've got clients in the US. I've got a role in Peru right now. I've got positions in, for example, South Africa. I've had Ethiopia, Kenya, China. Yeah, I've got an
Literally
interview
well,
happening in
yeah.
Dubai soon. So yeah, it is literally all over. So yeah, a lot of the clients are global, so that's how it works. They will have, for example, a head office in the Netherlands, but then they will have farms in Peru and South Africa, and yeah, so we all work. That's why it works, is the global
And is
setup.
it predominantly on the permanent side of things, or is there kind of a contract answer to what you did as well then?
Yeah, all permanent, 100% permanent.
Yeah, so when you're sitting there thinking about, okay, I clearly want to do this for myself, clearly pressuring I can, I suppose, in terms of the infrastructure around you to enable you to go out and do that, I suppose if you cast your mind back in 2019, what were the areas that you needed to get in place to enable you to physically do it?
I mean, it was pretty straightforward to begin with. I didn't have a CRM. I used Excel in the early days. I think I literally I had LinkedIn Premium, obviously paid for an accountant and, you know, the initial setup costs. But everything was relatively basic. I'm just trying to think. So yeah, it was all the usual stuff like getting insurance and see a laptop and
compliance side of things on the international front. Which obviously I'm sure you were pretty well versed with already, having done it for a number of years anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I made sure that, I checked like international calls on my phone, the cost of those. I mean, most of the time I was meeting on Microsoft Teams or speaking to people on WhatsApp. So actually most of the calls are free anyway. And then I just made sure I had, you know, relatively cheap international calls available. I think my outgoing costs were like £150 a month in the first few months. It was pretty low.
Absolutely. And I'm sure of those, without pricing, have those costs kind of grown as the business has developed, or have they kept quite consistent then?
Oh, no. Now it's
not that.
Massively more. Obviously now I invest a lot in like marketing, CRM. Yeah, outsourcing loads of different things. So it's grown massively.
And I suppose obviously I understand all the reasons why you did it back end of 2019. I suppose in terms of where the business is right now, I mean, is it where you wanted it to be or where you expect it to be over the next couple of years, or the last couple of years, sorry?
Well, I've hit target in terms of each year what I was hoping to do. So, yes, in terms of that, I think I didn't really plan too far ahead in the early days because I wasn't really sure what would happen or how it would take off. So it was, I think I just had maybe the first year or two planned out. But yeah, I'd say it's all gone to plan. We're on track where, you know, I hope to be. I wouldn't say we've done loads more than what I expected, but I'd say we are where I hoped we would be.
Exactly, you know, getting what you want kind of out of that vehicle. I suppose in terms of the challenges, as cliche as it sounds, that kind of you faced over the years, what have been the real standout ones that even to this day you kind of remember?
So I'd say, I mean, COVID was definitely a challenge, but that's something, you know, hopefully no one will experience again. But I'd say other things would be, so I did hire a couple of people last year that didn't work out.
Yep.
So that was a big learning curve, just in terms of, just interviewing people for myself and working out who are the right people.
It's such a different kind of kettle of fish, isn't it? As opposed to, which I'm sure you had hired people into your team when it's not your business. Weird, isn't it?
Really, really is. And now I have put a more structured interview process in place, including like personality profiling and things like that, but which I hadn't done before. I mean, who knows whether I'm going to get it right moving forward. It's just one of those
you end up feeling quite burnt, isn't it? And again without too much, I mean, what was it that wasn't just quite right then? Was it the remote aspect of it? Was it the fact that the interview process was kind of rushed because you feel that you could mold them into something that maybe they weren't quite ready for? I suppose what were the reasons that they didn't quite work out?
Well, I think the first one was bringing in somebody that hadn't done recruitment before, and I think she thought it would be something that it wasn't.
Yeah.
And I think it was a lot more sort of admin. Obviously there is admin involved, and I think it was more than what she expected. So I suppose one thing on that side is for me letting people know, trying to give more information on exactly what is involved day to day.
The real rules and all of it as well, isn't it?
That. And maybe it was more difficult than she realised as well, I guess. So yeah,
I suppose the gestation period for your particular market as well is it's quite long. So, you know, the patience has to really be there, and therefore it can feel like a long old slog to then get the payout, so to speak, as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I tell people when they start, you know, you're looking at 6 months before you get your first commission, because recruitment processes are between probably 4 to 5 months on average. And then obviously the client's got to pay the invoice and then you get paid. So it's like, you're looking at 6 months easily as people. So it is quite a long, like I say, a bit of a long slog But once it starts rolling, it's fine. It's just getting through those first
Yeah,
6 months.
so I suppose it's, as you say, yeah, really being as transparent as you possibly can be. It's not because, I'm speaking from my own personal experience as well, not because you aren't transparent with people coming to the business previously. It's just you have to be so clear as to the pros and cons about working in a small business, in a small kind of team. And I suppose, were these people remote last year then for yourself, or did you have an office? Because that's a challenge in itself then, isn't it? Yeah.
So remote. I mean, we have an office, but only myself and one person. Jenny comes to the office once. I say an office, sorry, it's like a co-working space that we go to. So so we do that once a week, but not everybody was coming to that. So that is a challenge. And then getting the team to kind of integrate between themselves as well, when I'm
When they're
having most
remote,
of the contact. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you can contact each other, you can speak to each other. So yeah, it's trying to get that is quite difficult.
Which is quite difficult because obviously, if you're sitting there thinking, well, why I don't need to talk to that person in the nicest way.
Yeah,
But
exactly.
obviously that's a real kind of challenge. So in terms of the business size at the moment, is it yourself and Jenny? Is that the team at the moment, or is it slightly bigger than that?
So we've got myself and Jenny, then we've got a couple of people that are more like freelance as well that are based overseas, and then I've got another person joining in a couple of months. So yeah, so it's technically four, but with two of those being freelance as it stands.
And when you started out, what kind of, at what point did you think, right, I'm ready to kind of build this, bring Jenny into the business perhaps, and bring these freelancers in? When did the kind of the shift happen for yourself?
Well, Jenny was after I came back from maternity leave. So that would have been in my second year. So she started in the July. And I think it was always a plan. I need to get somebody on board. So yeah, so that was about 18 months after I'd set up, roughly. And then it would have been another few months after that that I hired someone for like the back office admin. And then yeah, and then the end of last year there's a couple more people as well that joined. So yeah, so I've had a few people that have sort of come and gone, but hopefully you should be relatively stable now, fingers crossed.
No, of course, yeah. And so it's, yeah, it's a collection of 360 consultants or consultants in some respects as well, and then also the back of the side of things. So in terms of the things you do in-house, and is it kind of the invoicing and the account side of things, is that in-house for yourself, or is it more just the admin side as well?
Yes, I mean, there's loads of admin. I mean, I've got an accountant, obviously, but I still have to do like the invoicing and a lot of the accounts. And then admin is things like the formatting of CVs,
So the normal
which you
stuff,
can out we do actually outsource this. I've got somebody that works for us like freelance, so to format CVs, help update the database, even get like posts for LinkedIn ready, create adverts. There's quite a lot
There's a lot of
involved.
moving parts, isn't there? Yeah, and I suppose did you reckon you were aware of how many moving parts there were when you started up, or have you kind of found them as you go, if that makes sense?
I don't think there was, I realized how much there was, particularly on the side that I wasn't involved with previously, like the finance side, basically. So yeah, invoicing, just making sure I'm on top of my finances. I've got all that tracked, planning ahead. Just looking at processes, systems, making sure I've worked out, exactly how we're going to do things. All that side takes quite a lot of time, which I didn't realize before.
Yeah, well, it certainly does, doesn't it? And that's about being able to, in any way that you can, kind of streamline these things around yourself to, as cliche as I know it sounds, allow you to focus on obviously what enabled you to get to the position that you were in a couple of years ago, which is obviously the recruitment side of things. So it's, yeah, and I suppose that always then comes back to whether the whole idea of starting something for yourself is marketed in the right way. And I suppose, what was your understanding of what running your own business was it kind of the same as what it actually was in practical terms, if that makes sense? So was it marketed in the way that you then have experienced it yourself?
Yeah, I think there's definitely more involved than I realized. Like, I thought that I would have more free time to just go and recruit, but actually, I probably don't have as much free time because there's a lot of stuff in the background that I feel needs doing that even now I push to one side because I'm like, oh, I need to leave. I need to do it, but it feels like it's less important, even though it's not. So, it's,
But I know what you mean there in terms of anything other than just make a placement, just does feel kind of, it pales into insignificance, doesn't it?
Yes, exactly. Even I've got, an email right now that I need to apply to my accountant that's asking me for loads of information regarding, invoices, et cetera, that I need for my end of year accounts that I've just I need to do it, but I've not got around to it yet because it's just, yeah, it's one of those things.
That's where you end up, well, you end up having kind of like admin little power hours, don't you? Kind of admin afternoons where you just get all these things done. But again, there's a number of spinning plates, which obviously as the business develops and you start having teams and obviously the challenges that come with just managing internal people, let alone the accountants and clients. Obviously, all these things do take a kind of a time toll on yourself as well. But
definitely.
Generally speaking, I mean, do you enjoy what you're doing? I'm sure you do.
Oh, I absolutely love it. Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. It's like, I do say to people, it is more like a hobby than work, genuinely. I love it. It's like, I could work a lot more than I do, but because I've got two kids, yeah, my time is restricted to actually how much I can work. So yeah. I feel like if I didn't have kids, I probably would do quite long hours, I imagine. So
yeah. I think it's one of those things that obviously it's different stages of life in terms of when you're ready to do it. And I suppose... why hadn't you thought about starting up prior to when you did, if that makes sense?
I think I was just quite happy. Maybe I wasn't quite ready for it. I don't know, actually. It was weird. I remember quite a long time ago saying, I don't think I want to, you know, own my own business. I just don't think I had the same desires at that stage. Whereas I think after a while I started to realize actually I think I can do this and I've got some different ideas and yeah, it just became more attractive, I think, as I got a bit older.
Yeah, and also I'm sure one of the catalysts might have been when you build that international desk. So when you were with your previous company, which I know from your LinkedIn you were with them for quite a long period of time, was that the first desk that you built from scratch for them, or had you built kind of desks from the start from the ground up before?
No, I had built the previous desk up from the ground up. So, I mean, I had, I think, maybe some sort of, not even warm leads, I wouldn't say, but there was a database there. Clients and candidates already there that I could contact. But then I had, you know, won all my own business, et cetera, whilst I was there. Whereas the international side, when I set that up, it was literally getting all the data from scratch. There was nothing. So I literally built that up from the ground up.
And did you bring that idea to them? Did you say, look, I've identified this, I think we should run with it? And obviously they gave you the freedom to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I had the idea and then went with it. And, you know, they did get me somebody on like a temp to help literally do the data entry, just getting clients and candidates details on the database so I could send out e-shots and things. But yeah, I suppose thinking about it, if I look at when I actually started doing the international piece to when I actually made my first placement, it was about 9 or 10 months.
Yeah,
it was a long time. I was quite lucky that it was only 3 months after me setting up.
I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah. Because I think that's the hesitancy for so many, isn't it? In terms of, obviously you mentioned yourself kind of financially having to really think about things in those early days to make sure that you're not putting yourself under any further pressure financially in something that's already incredibly pressurizing. But yeah, we find that with a number of our guys kind of on the perm side of things, traditionally you're saying, well, you know, it's going to be 5-6 months before you start seeing, you know, consistent revenue coming through the door for yourself. So I suppose it's feeling comfortable with that. And I suppose I'm sure you get people coming to you all the time asking for your kind of advice, because obviously you've been so clearly successful over the last couple of years running it for yourself. I suppose when people come and talk to you about the idea of starting up on their own, what kind of advice do you give them about the day-to-day, the dynamic, what to think about, what to kind of be aware of?
I mean, well, I think one thing that I did probably wrong in the first, or I would do differently if I was to do it again, particularly when I set up with my previous employer, was I was asking for too high fees for somebody coming in and, you know, brand new to the industry. I think I was like, oh, I'm not doing anything less than 20%. And I was literally turning business away, which in hindsight, I don't think I should have done. I think I should have just got, you know, a few slightly lower fees and gone with it. I was also rejecting more junior positions because I wanted to work on senior roles. And I think just, you know, a fee would have been good in the early days. And I was trying to have this fresh produce specialism, but I was kind of doing a bit outside of that. So I was, contacting companies that weren't necessarily fresh produce, maybe had a link to it. And again, I think I was just too broad in what I was trying to do. When I actually narrowed down to have that specialism, that's when it really started working.
Which again, you need some kind of, for want of a better phrase, kind of real bottle to do it that way, don't you? Because there's one thing turning away, you know, 15, 17, 18% or whatever. there's another thing, really kind of honing yourself in and turning roles away as well. I suppose with the junior roles, did you, when you set up LCR, did you venture into that market a little bit, or did you keep with the kind of the higher level stuff?
No, I did. Yeah, you know, I had a client that I worked with quite a long time, and they were 15% terms, and they were all level of roles from, you know, £30,000 salary up to £100,000. But I made, you know, I did like £70,000 with them in the first, like, in like 9 months or something. So it was, you know, really good client to have. So, so yeah, that was great. I mean, now I've been able to increase my fees. My fees are a lot higher now, and I will turn away business, but I'm in the position that I can, because I think in the early days, it made sense to just, yeah, just kind of get what you can.
Almost. I know what you mean in terms of, especially in that, we always see the same thing in terms of that first 12 months is really, you know, viewing it as a foundation year for yourself to personally make yourself feel comfortable with how the vehicle works for you. And also making sure that financially, as obvious as it sounds, it's giving you what you want. I think sometimes there's a hesitancy to not drop your fees consistently and without kind of merit, but to not be overly flexible. Well, ultimately, that's the lifeline of any business, especially in those first 12 months, because I'm sure for yourself sitting there 12, 18 months then into the business, that's when you start thinking, okay, well, what do I as Lucy really want from the business yourself? And that's where the hiring kind of comes in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think that was probably the best way to work it, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose so. Obviously, you know, in terms of that's one bit of advice that you would give somebody coming in and having a chat with yourself. I suppose what other bits of advice would you give someone who's obviously been thinking about it, similar to yourself, for a number of years, and then just needs to feel like it's the right time? What would you be saying to them?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say just make sure you're. Plan really well, make sure you think about how much data you've got to go and get on the database, which takes, you know, a huge amount of time. So I think the first kind of 3 months or something, you are going to be spending a lot of time putting data, you know, finding email addresses, getting the right contacts, all that sort of thing. So I'd say just kind of bear that in mind, that does take, and that will take up quite a lot of your time, but obviously that's, you know, only a short amount of time in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah,
I'd say that's probably a big thing.
And also, as you were saying before, kind of making sure that you have the kind of the infrastructure in place to allow you, if you can, to focus as much time as you can on the recruitment side of things. And then naturally, I mean, have you seen yourself get more and more interested in kind of the mechanics of how the business works as well, if that makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm actually in the process of potentially hiring someone to help me with that, because at the moment it's having time to look at, okay, am I using the CRM to its full capacity, which I know I'm not. You know, have we got the right systems and processes in place, which, again, it just takes so much time to sit down and look through it and work out, okay, how are we going to do this? Whereas before, working for business, that was all in place. You know, you didn't have to think about any of that. Whereas now it's like literally starting something from scratch. There is all of that to put in place.
It is, isn't it? Which is why, I mean, and again, everyone can kind of say it, it's a different thing actually doing it in practice. But if you have, you know, biannual kind of audits where you sit down and lock yourself in a room and kind of say, okay, if we wanted to really improve the processes and procedures of this business, what can we be doing? You know, it's an easy thing to say, but it's just carving that time out to do it, isn't it? So you're looking at people to come in and kind of help, kind of as a consultant type thing for yourself.
So I found somebody that specializes in recruitment that does that, and she charges like an hourly rate. So I'm going to give that a go. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm generally quite good at that sort of thing in terms of like systems, processes, putting all that in place. But just having not only the actual free time in terms of the hours in the day, but having the mental capacity sometimes to sit down and go, hey, what am I actually doing? How am I going to do this when you've got so many other things going on? It is a lot. And then sometimes I sit down and look at it and I'll go, I actually don't know what the answer is. I actually don't know what's best here. So,
and also sometimes, I mean, I'm sure, because we all have, you fall into the trap of, well, in the nice way, it's working. You know, I'm clearly doing, you know, what we need to be doing. The accounts are showing that it is, the activity showing that it is. And then you kind of put it to the back of your mind. But it is one of those things that if you can get people and third parties and kind of second pair of eyes really thinking about these things from an objective point of view, usually they can obviously help with these things. That's a really kind of exciting stage for yourself. I suppose when you look at the next couple of years for LCR as a business, I suppose as kind of hard as it is to project what it might look like over the next couple of years, what do you kind of want the business to be doing over the next couple of years?
Well, I think so this year, so we'll be taking on, an additional consultant, which will be sort of for the second half of the year. I've just outsourced all my marketing. So I've onboarded a recruitment marketing company agency. So they've just started with all that, which is really,
Oh,
really
fantastic.
exciting. So looking at all the processes. And I think longer term, I do like the idea of having some people in different locations with different language skills. So for example, getting somebody in South America or in Asia somewhere, and having those remote people with the who know the culture and also the language skills. So that's probably a long term, probably looking at the next maybe 24 months, I imagine that would be
Again,
the
really
plan.
hard to hire the right type of person for that, isn't it? And also the HR and the compliance that goes around that as well. But as you're saying, obviously, if you have even a vague interest in how the mechanics of these things work, which obviously I know you do, and some, you're in a really good position to obviously be able to get that right.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I've got
Fingers
an idea
crossed.
now,
That's what
but
I'm saying.
I mean, I have got lots of ideas now, but it's just, putting them into practice. So we'll see.
Of course, yeah. No, well, look, Lucy, thank you very much for your time. I suppose it is one of those things I'm sure anyone kind of listening to this today will empathize a lot with, pre-LCR Lucy, and also obviously people who have been running their own thing for a couple of years surely have the same, I'm sure, sorry, have the same challenges that you're facing day to day. So no, I really appreciate all your time. So thank you very much for that.
No, that's great. Thank you very much, Max. No, it's been a pleasure.